Book session number 13264, Reel 1.
Mr. Morris, Reel 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
In Hull.
Which year was that?
22, 1922.
What did your father do for a living?
He was on the railway.
But you were telling me that your mother didn't come from Hull.
Mother come, she's an Irish lady.
Which part of Ireland did she come
from? Northern Ireland, Dungannon, County Tyrone.
But you were brought up as a Catholic, you said?
Oh, yes, we all were. But my father was not a Catholic.
Did you go to school in Hull?
Yes, St. Wilfrid's.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
In 1936?
36, yeah.
Did you get a job?
Straight away, yeah. Well, before I left school. Apprentice plumber.
Were you still doing plumbing when war broke out?
When I joined up the army, I was still a boy then. Yeah.
What was your reaction when you heard that we were at war with Germany?
Well, to tell you the truth, not a lot, because I didn't understand what it was all about. But my father soon put me right. He said, I can remember him on the Sunday morning when he was on the wireless. If I could go to say, one of you lads going to go, because you think it's going to be holiday, but it's no holiday. Because he was in the East Yorkshire in the First World War. And we all went, there were six boys and four guards. The six boys went and two of the guards went. And we all come back home, fortunately.
Were you in Hull during the bombing?
Yes, I went into the army in 42.
Where were you living during the bombing of Hull?
Chumley Street Boulevard.
Can you tell me what the bombing of Hull was like?
Very, very bad indeed. I remember laying in bed one night, and my youngest brother was with me, and the air raid sirens went, and then they started dropping. And I saw this great big shadow go past the back bedroom window, and it was the parachute of a man which fell in Coltman Street. And its twin bomb, which yours came down in twos, that fell on St. Wilfrid's Catholic School and Church in Hull. And one to that fell in the fish dock. But when it fell in the fish dock, luckily it fell in the water between the fish stands. It blew some of the stands down, but no loss of life, which was good.
When the bombing came, did you use public shelters?
Well, we had one in our back garden, which we spent days and days on. Land it all out with wood, put electric lights in and all the rest of it. And my mother went in one night and that was a finish. She wouldn't go in no more, she didn't like being locked in. So we'd done all that work for nothing.
Was this an Anderson shelter?
Yeah, a concrete one, yes.
But did you go into air raid shelters where there were lots of people?
Only if I was caught in the town. But mainly, no. We didn't bother.
What were the ones for masses of the public like?
Oh, they were quite good. Quite good indeed.
Did they have any facilities in them?
No, no facilities.
So you couldn't go to toilet?
No, no, you couldn't go to toilet, no.
Did they have bunks or any chairs?
Oh, there were some bunks and chairs, oh yeah. Especially if you lived in... There was a public one in your street. It was all lined out and everything, electric lighting and everything. Even worse than some of them, right? What you and the neighbours had done, all mucked in together.
Do you remember any other buildings and streets that were hit in Hull?
Well, I was in a public house in West Street, behind the whole Daily Mail office, called the Falcon Inn. And it was never built up afterwards. And next door was the assembly room, well, not assembly room, it was a great big dance hall called the Metropole. There was a dance floor downstairs, upstairs, and then they were surrounded by offices, Billy's Exchange. Fortunately, the army hadn't took possession of the building, they'd bought it, but they hadn't took possession, so there was nobody in it at all. There was just one ambulance with from the pub into there. There was only one ambulance, you could only get one one vehicle down the road at a time. It was behind the Old Royal Infirmary on Prospect Street. And the back end of the public house came down, then it caught fire. So I put the fire out with a pint glass of water. And I said to a pal there, I said, oh, my ankle's hurting. And with that, I threw the water on my ankle. Well, it was just, you know, the old pennies. You could put the old penny on there, and it was as big as that, and all them boulders all mashed up. I was off work 6 months with that. But I still passed fit for the army, for the infantry.
So something had broken the bones?
Yeah, I don't know what it was like. And then I go into all right, well, there's no lights on, no water, nothing. Put my hand in my pocket for a cigarette, and ripped all my knuckles off. There's a piece of plate glass in my pocket. After one of the winners. Well, we couldn't stay there, so we towed all the way around all. Beverly Road Hospital, this hospital, that. Anyway, I finished up in the Children's Hospital in Park Street. Where, unfortunately, I was working there during the day as apprentice plumber, and very friendly with two or three of the nurses. Well, what a time they gave me in there, but let me go away.
They what?
What a time they gave me in there. I got more bed baths than anybody. And it was them was the days when the matron was the boss. And she was a very, very nice lady indeed. We used to go to all the dance, social dances and that.
Do you remember what her name was?
I can't remember her name, but she was a beautiful lady. Really smashing.
Any other buildings that you remember being hit in Hull or Straits?
Oh, yes, well, I remember St. Wilfrid's. That was the same night as it. And my sister got laid out in St. Wilfrid's, house. The same night as I got laid out in Falcon in West Street. And my auntie turned to put my mother's house because she had no pub, so you know where to live. And on the way down, they passed the convent on Andleby Road, which was a blaze. And my father went in there to, you know, retrieve what they could do before the fire got the lot. That was St. Mary's College at that in them days. All the nuns used to live there, and the St. Mary's girl used to go there. That's where all the tennis courts were, and such like. Beautiful building.
What about the centre of Hull? What buildings were hit there?
Oh, well, while I was still on my crutches, a young lady took me to the Cecil Picture House. We came out after the show, and I was on my crutches, you see. So, of course, I was very slow. Anyway, I still got out before she did because she dropped her gloves. So the manager said, well, come in more and I'll save them for you, because she only works at Hammond's, like. I'll save them for you, see, I'll get them for you to save them. Anyway, she goes to work the next morning, no Hammond's. That was where, reportedly, one of the airplanes that was bombing Hull fell into that in the fire. So they say. And when she got to Cecil, there was no Cecil. So she got no job, no gloves, no nothing.
Was it called the Cecil in those days?
It's called the Cecil, it's on the corner of where that big glass building is now. That big block of offices. And then, because it moved from there across the road.
What about bomb damage round about the old town? Do you remember if there was any around there?
Oh, yes, I remember quite a lot around there, yeah, definitely. Well, all the centre of the town was virtually flat, apart from the cenotaph. The cenotaph was still stood there, but all round it was flat as pantry.
Did Holy Trinity get hit?
No, it got damaged, but not hit. Got damaged with blast and that, but not actually hit.
Do you think the Germans were bombing military targets or just at random?
Well, I would say, truthfully, random. And let's be fair, we used to do a lot of random bombing, you know.
Was there any hatred of the Germans?
Well, I can't say of any. In fact, I hold them in high regard, I do, as fighters and as soldiers. But of course, you got the odd Englishman that used to chop a finger off to get a ring. you could get good and bad everywhere, don't you? Good and bad down your street, down your avenue, wherever.
But did people in Hull hit the pilots who were carrying out the bombing?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It was their job, wasn't it? So it was our job to do what we did.
How did public morale hold up in Hull?
Very, very good indeed. Remarkably good, I would say.
But did you get people who said that we ought to give in or come to an agreement with Hitler?
Oh, no, I never heard that. No, I never heard that. Well, there again, I've seen ordinary civilians looted in houses that had been bombed, you know. So there's good and bad everywhere you go.
Where did you see that?
Well, mainly on the Chamberlain Road. When a lot of houses got bombed up there. We turned out on the Sunday morning to start repairing it, you see. And there were people stealing watches and all sorts of clocks.
How many people were doing the looting?
Oh, a stack of them.
Hundreds?
No, not hundreds, but quite a lot. No, not hundreds by any means, no.
Did anybody try to stop them?
Oh, we did. We tried to stop ourselves, yeah. I took stuff off them and kept it to give it to the lady of the house when she come back, like, you know. She'd maybe come back 2 or 3 days after. She couldn't sleep there that night. Because the police would shift them, you see.
Did you have to fight them or use force?
Oh, no. You used to get yourself them, like, roughly. Oh, there's some badness, like, well, there is now, isn't there? There is everywhere.
So you had to tear the stuff out of their hands?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. The Chamberlain Road's the one I remember most of all.
Were they men or women who were doing it?
Both. Youths. A lot of youths, you know, youths. That was the worst I saw at Chamberlain Road, because round these back streets in the centre of the town, you had a different type of people, you see. Those that you thought would steal didn't steal, and them that you thought wouldn't steal did steal.
How do you mean?
Well, people from rough areas, you would have thought they was rough and ready. They would be the stealers, but they weren't. It was the people that was better class people, well, so-called better class.
When was the worst bombing in Hull? Which months?
March was the worst.
41?
Yeah, 41.
Did it go on for a long time in Hull?
Oh, it went on nearly every night.
For how many months?
Oh, for quite 2 or 3 months it went on practically every night of the week. And it was always on the wireless, a northeast coast town. Oh, they dropped landmines on quite a few nights. They all dropped them in two, you see. There was always two. The Fish Dock and St. Wilfrid's went together. And Coltman Street, the big church in Coltman Street, and Anchor House went together.
And where?
Anchor House, they call it. The Catholic Mission to Seaman. It's still there now. And on the road.
So the...
rebuilt, like.
The parachute mines were dropped in two?
I mean, all in twos, yeah.
You say that it was referred to as a northeast coast town.
Northeast coast town, yeah.
How did people in Hull feel about it being referred to in
that? Very annoyed. Very, very annoyed. Like, it's often been referred to as a little fishing village, isn't it? And yet it was the biggest port in the country for fish.
So, did people feel that it should have been named, given it...
Certainly so, yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, I mean, Coventry was, and all these other places. And the biggest loss they had in Coventry was the cathedral. Which was better than a cathedral than a lot of houses, I would say.
It was what?
I say better than a cathedral to go than a lot of houses. They said one for school and church went, but having said that, the houses didn't go, you see, so it was far better than the church to go, wasn't it? A loss of life, you know.
How did you feel the emergency services performed in Hull?
Remarkably well. Remarkably well, I feel.
Did the fire brigade manage to get each night's fires put out?
Oh, yes, yeah. My brother was in the fire brigade right through the war. He died of cancer. Never smoked, never drunk, but he died of cancer.
Did people flee the city to go into the countryside?
On a night time, they used to go into the country on horse and carts and all sorts of things. Stop the night and then come back next morning, you see.
Where did they go to?
Well, within about 15 miles, like, you know. Beverly and beyond. In that way, like.
Who would they stay with?
Well, stay with anybody out in the fields.
Spend the night in the fields?
Oh, yes, definitely, yeah.
Did you ever do that?
No, because I was in the army, so I went in the army. I volunteered that often that in the fields they got fed up with seamen and let me join. Well, I had no pals, you see, because I was an apprentice plumber. Being an apprentice plumber, he was in a reserves occupation. They wouldn't take you, see. So in sheer desperation, I volunteered for the infantry. I had no pals, you see, all my pals had gone.
Where did you go to, first of all, after you volunteered?
Beverly. Beverly Barracks.
For initial training?
Initial training, yeah. Infantry training.
This was the East Yorkshires?
I started in the East Yorkshire, but it was a general service mob then, like.
What was your basic training like?
Oh, quite good, I enjoyed it. Despite people telling me I wouldn't, I did, I thought it was good. There were some good lads, like, there were 17 of us in our hut. We're all apprentice plumbers. And one of them's got the best job I've ever known of. He's on about 3,000. No, he's on 15,000 pension now. He got back into the service as an instructor, and he went to all the third world countries, you know. Instructor as a school teacher.
But why did you find the army so good?
Well, the comradeship, I enjoyed it tremendously.
What form did the comradeship take?
Oh, well, you were like brothers and, you know, brothers and sisters, like. It was really good, fantastic comradeship.
When was it that you joined the army then?
12th of February 42. And I came out 12th of February 47. 5 years exactly to the day. I come out as a sergeant major.
Was there any bombing going on in Hull in February 42 when you joined? Or had it stopped?
No, it's still going on. I was glad to get away. I was pleased to keep believing, I'll tell you. Because it's a hell of a town.
The bombing was still going on in February 42?
Oh, well, it went on. The war finished. We've got more than our share, I think.
After your initial training, what happened to you?
Well, I went from here to Lowestoft. I was there a few weeks, then I went abroad.
What were you doing in Lowestoft?
I was in the... I'd gone to another mob in the King's Liverpool Irish. Why, I don't know. And then I went and got on a boat in Scotland. When we got off the one that got bombs, got to Peter's, I was in the Royal Enniskillen Fusiliers. It's in that door, isn't it?
Well, you left Britain as part of the Liverpool Irish or part of the Royal Enniskillen Fusiliers?
Liverpool Irish. And then we went out
as
there.
As part of a battalion?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Which battalion was that?
It's the only one that was in the 8th Liverpool Irish. It was a territorial battalion.
The 8th. And you joined them at Lowestoft, you say?
Felix or Lowestoft, yeah.
What were they supposed to be doing there?
Well, they were just on there, you know, on these gun sites and sites like
coastal defence?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Was there much defending to do?
Oh, we had a good time there because we was in civil billets. We was billeting with civilians. Quite nice people.
But was there much action against the enemy whilst you were with
them? Oh, no, very little, no.
Were you at Lowestoft or Felixstowe?
Both. Well, not far from each other in any case, like.
How long were you on the East Coast there?
Only about a couple of months.
In 42?
In 42, and then I went abroad to North Africa.
Where did you sail from?
Oran. No, up here. What the hell is it called?
In Scotland?
Scotland, yeah.
Clydeside?
Stranraer.
Stranraer?
Stranraer, I think. Yeah.
Which ship did you sail in?
Strathallan.
Was it the troop ship?
Troop ship, there was 5,000 aboard of it.
Pardon?
There was 5,000 aboard of it. It was the flagship of the convoy. There'd been foreigners all day till it appeared in 1:30 in the morning.
How big a convoy was it?
Oh, quite a huge one.
Was it well defended?
Oh, yes, quite well defended, yeah.
Do you remember any of the ships that defended it? Any of the warships?
No, I can't remember the names now. I remember the name of the one that picked us up.
Do you know when you left Clydeside, which month that would have been?
December, early December.
42?
Early December, yeah.
What were conditions like in the Strathallan?
Absolutely jam-packed.
Whereabouts in the ship were you?
Right in the bottom deck, next to the engine room.
In hammocks?
Yeah, hammocks, yeah. And I remember the we was next door to the engine room because that's what the torpedo. And they shut all the bulkhead doors to save the ship going down, you know. And the RAF lads, RAF regiment, which is were really the soldiers. There was airmen, but there was actually soldiers, you know, on the airfields and that. And they were screaming, but they couldn't get out. You see, they're locked in. And then what? They answered me for months and months afterwards. The screams and screeching of these lads. Right, it was bad. But it was either that or the ship could have gone down altogether, you see. And there was 5,000 of us on the ship, and they couldn't afford to let the ship go down, could they?
Where was the Strathallan torpedoed?
Just off, what do they call that place? It was all lit up. Tangiers. Off the coast of Tangiers, and we was hoping we could drift into Tangiers and get in safely. But no, no such luck.
To get out of the war?
Yeah, to get out of the war, yeah.
Where were you when the torpedo hit?
Playing cards in the hammock. We were playing cards for our last English money. And against all the advice we were stripped off, you know, which was illegal, like, to be stripped off, wasn't it?
You were supposed to have your uniform?
Oh, I was supposed to have boots on and everything.
Why was that?
Well, so as you were dressed to get off.
You mean it was too hot?
Oh, it was terrible heat all day.
What do you remember about the noise of the torpedo hitting?
I never heard it. I never heard it at all. Putting me half asleep and half awake. I put my hand out and my pal's hammock wasn't there. It must have dropped. And I had visions of putting my hand through the side of the ship because you could hear the water coming in. And then I fell on the floor like my hammock fell down. Couldn't find my boat, couldn't find my socks. Pandemonium it was. We didn't go on deck with no clothes on because we'd got to the throne of the salary.
Were you completely naked?
Yeah, it was against all the rules and regulations.
But if you didn't hear anything, what was the first intimation that you had that something was wrong?
Water coming in. I could hear the water coming in. So the ship was sad in me. Half stupid man, I thought I'd gone right through the side, you know. It's hard to explain, really. and the lad that fell down off the bunk, and I've been swimming him all right through the war. I don't know what happened to him. I know he lives in London, Bill Mayo, they call him.
So this was before Christmas, 1942?
Oh, before Christmas, yeah. I had to have a tin of main vegetables for the Christmas dinner, I remember that. Lasted me all day because it was raining that fast, you couldn't tell it, you know, all the rain was going in.
So when the water was pouring into the Strathallan, was it coming into your area where you were?
Oh yes, on the floor, yeah, on the deck, I guess.
How deep was it?
Oh, it's deep enough. We were nearly up to your knees.
Was there panic?
Not much at all, no. Well, we knew it was no use panicking, because if you panicked, you couldn't get out. We was on G deck, which is a hell of a way down, like. With all that way to go up. And even then, talk about Germans and all the rest of them. I saw lads there ripping the bottoms out of kit bags with a razor blade. Thieving. So you can't, there's no answer to it at all.
You mean after...
Loaded, yeah.
After it had been torpedoed?
Yeah, loaded, yeah. Oh, you can't believe it.
So, once you realised that water was coming into the ship...
Well, we knew we'd been hit then. Well, we knew we'd been hit. We tried to find our clothes and put them on and get on the deck, you see. Which we did do in the finish, like.
Could you get up from one deck to another?
Oh yeah, we had to climb up like through the ship.
Were there lots of men all blocking the way?
Oh, I said there was 5,000 aboard of us, and all the women was on our ship as well. You see, it was a flagship of the convoy.
Which women were there?
The nurses and doctors, like. Oh, there was a hell of a lot of women, English and French and Yankees.
So you got onto the top deck.
Yeah.
And what did you do once you got there?
Oh, you hung about there until the destroyers come alongside. Then we jumped off our boat onto the destroyers.
In the pitch black?
Oh, yeah. Well, because it wasn't pitch black then, because it was about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Were there fires?
Pardon?
Were there fires?
Oh, no. But our ship caught fire in the finish. I've got a photograph in my pocket.
Don't show me it now. Mm. So you personally jumped from the Strathallan to a destroyer?
It's HMS Panther. I can remember that one. That's what they call the destroyer I jumped on, so. And as far as I can gather, he was the most decorated Royal Navy captain on the destroyers during the war. He got the DSO 3 times. He was an ass, so he had the great big wooden cross weighed onto the mast. And he had to come out from Oran without any degaussing gear because he'd lost it all in action. And I met a lad on there, a stoker, in the stoker's mess. And I gave him my address, like he'll ask me for my address. And for 2 years after that, I got cigarettes at regular intervals, and then all of a sudden it stopped. No money changed hands, he used to send me, he didn't smoke himself, you see.